I'd like to mention briefly about Postcards from Galapagos, and then I'll move on to Orpheus and Eurydice. I've been looking over some of these poems, and I really, it's like T.S. Eliot said when he was asked about the wasteland. He said, they said, "Well, what does it mean?" And he said, "It meant what it, it meant what it said. It meant what it means, basically. Don't, go away." So some of the stuff I will skip over, not because I don't love them dearly, but in the auspices of time and the fact that I think that there's other stuff we could be talking about. I just did want to mention in Postcards from Galapagos very quickly that evolution is a really strong concept with me. Lots of very strange things find their way into my poetry from my reading evolution. A lot of ideas of quantum physics, which we'll talk about a little later. All kinds of crazy stuff just pops out of my head and onto the page. But one of the things that that I think of about evolution is that, what Bill Hicks said quite a while ago, which was, we didn't stop evolving just because we grew thumbs, which I think is great because we really need to. What the poem is trying to talk about, and how successfully it does it is up to you. But if we could just evolve past all of these petty bits of crap that keep us trapped in ourselves, then maybe we could move on and be a much better race for it. So that's there, and there's Chuck Darwin there at the end, spinning and laughing in his grave and going, "I told you so!" But that's basically what I wanted to say about that. I did want to make a brief mention of Orpheus and Eurydice, because this is a really strange story, and I might lose the two or three of you that I have left by telling this story. But I, we are here in Disc 2 together, and no one has returned alive from this depth. I was sitting around. I had, this is during the stage when I was reading Neil Gaiman's The Sandman. I mention that a lot, but it's because it's one of my 10 favorite books of all time, and it's had a big effect on me and how I write and how I view things. But I knew enough to that Oneiros, who is essentially the title character of The Sandman, it was used as Orpheus's father in the comic book, and I think I understand that it's Apollo in classical myth. But so I knew enough to stick that in because I wanted to put that little nod to Neil and his work. But I had not read the Sandman Annual yet, which retells the Orpheus myth for according to Gaiman's Sandman mythos, which is. Brilliant. I won't. I'll try to quit, singing its praises, but it's just really great. So in between finding out about Oneiros in the Sandman mythos and then reading the annual, now stay with me here. Eurydice showed up in my head, and said, "I want you to write my story," and I reacted pretty much like any, red-blooded person would do, and said, I obviously need more drugs. I need to take my medication. I'm hearing things." But I really, Eurydice as a character, and this happens sometimes, fully formed, walked into my head and said, "I need you to write this story." And I thought, first I said, why in the world would I want to write this story from the perspective of the woman? First of all, I'm a guy, I do have a member, and I don't know that I can do this. And she said, "Just shut up and write." And I wrote pretty much in one sitting what you read here with very, I don't know what I edited off of it. And maybe if you've read it, you're thinking, "God, you should have spent a little bit more time on it." But this is pretty much what this character of Eurydice jumped into my head and told me to write. Which is really eerie. And then afterwards, I found the Gaiman version of the myth and just went, "Oh my God." But I had this great idea of just like what, you always hear about Orpheus, 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 Orpheus. You always hear about Orpheus. You never hear about, the poor girl who got, bitten by the snake and was sent to hell, and, he went to go you know, rescue her and botched it. You know, you never hear anything about her. She's just, you know, the victim. She's the blonde chick in the 50s horror movie going, ah, just screaming over in the corner and doing nothing to protect herself. I thought, you know, there's got to be more to it than that. And she, you know, she gave me the story. So, you know, sometimes you just get characters fully formed that walk into your head and want you to do something with them, and they will bug you until you do. And this was just one of those cases where, you know, out of the blue, there it was.